Here we are. This is Real World Radio on air. www.realworldradio.fm.
Social movements and organizations present at the UN to stop corporate impunity. The global campaign to dismantle corporate power organized on Thursday in Geneva, Switzerland, an activity in the framework of the United Nations to insist on the need for the new treaty that allows to take corporations that violate human rights to justice to be binding. The different social movements and organizations from five continents that are part of the global campaign warn about the pressure at the UN to implement voluntary mechanisms which have proven to be inefficient to combat the abuses perpetrated by transnational corporations. The campaign works for a binding treaty on transnational corporations and human rights under negotiation at the UN since 2014. Thursday's activity took place in the framework of the 38th session of the UN Human Rights Council at the Palais des Nations in Geneva, headquarters of the organization. Real World Radio interviewed Alberto Villarreal of Friends of the Earth International, present yesterday at the workshop and who is following the official talks.
The purpose of the activity was mainly to put on the table of, and taking into consideration that all human rights people within governments are here for the Human Rights Council session, no? To make visible the fact of the negotiations, of the upcoming negotiations of a binding treaty on transnational corporations and human rights, no? In effect, in this session, one of the segments of the discussions would be a report presented by the experts group working on the guiding principles, the voluntary principles on human rights and business, no? Which is sort of competing with this new initiative on a binding international instrument on human rights and transnational corporations. And the thing that this expert group is doing is kind of moving backwards, really, rather than moving forward, no? In terms of addressing the issue of access to justice and remedy, no? While we are speaking of binding regulations and binding laws and regulations for transnational corporations, no, they are now talking and they're asking the Human Rights Council and the Office of the High Commissioner of Human Rights, no, to continue doing researching and doing report now on non-judicial mechanisms for access to justice and redress of affected communities, no? While we are asking for no judicial binding mechanisms, no? So it's kind of they're going backwards. We're emphasizing the need for a judicial and binding mechanisms for access to justice and redress, no? So that was mainly the point, no? We had a panel. A very good panel of people, including leaders from the International Services, Public Services International, no? The International Labor Unions involved in public services, from Industrial, the global union of industrial workers in the world, and as well from the movement of affected peoples by dams in Brazil. Member as well of Via Campesina in Brazil, from FIAN International, their officer, the main officer, the senior officer here in Geneva, and myself in representation of Friends of the Earth International. The European Union insists, let's say, on the fact that the guiding principles, the voluntary principles, guiding principles, no, are still what they call the authoritative framework on business and human rights, no? And they question still the need for binding regulations, and they question the process in which these negotiations are happening, no? They question the leadership of Ecuador, no? Of the working group as well, no? So they are kind of trying to put sticks in the wheels of the process all the time. No, that said, I mean, it is interesting to note, however, no, that member states within the European Union are actually advancing, no, in their national legislation with interesting stuff. No, in France, you know, there is now legislation on the duty of care of companies. No, I mean, still limited things. No, but they. Steps taken in the right direction. No? So the European Union is not a single voice. So, I mean, when we are here, we're trying to talk also to member states of the European Union, no? to make sure that, I mean, at least that some more progressive states within the European Union can pull the string, so to say, of the European Union, so that it takes on a better stance on these discussions, no? Instead of what has been happening all through the last 3 years. Well, we consulted, we talked with as many government delegations as we could on their participation on those consultations and their commitment to the forthcoming process. No, well, there's still a fourth consultation on July 11th, no, and to which extent they are participating in those consultations in their national capitals. I mean, to which extent are they not only their foreign relations ministries, but other ministries that must have an interest in this process, and which certainly have an interest in this process, no, to which extent they are kind of putting their heads into this and preparing for the October session of the work of the Intergovernmental Working Group, when negotiations will start. And interestingly, you know, some of the delegations with whom we talked, especially from Europe, no, were not very happy about the way that the consultations have been going on, no, and apparently claiming that, or still demanding that a new resolution would be needed, no, to go ahead with the process, no, which is what the European Union insisted on in the third consultation, which you mentioned, where our comrade Anne van Schaik was there. Nevertheless, there is different accents on that regard, no? I mean, we spoke to the Russian delegation, for example, and they said, well, no, we don't think there's a need for a new resolution. We just need clarity about the way forward. I mean, the mandate of the resolution is clear, no? We just need clarity of the way forward, no? How the negotiations will be set up, no? And what's the format of those negotiations, etc., no? So, yeah, interestingly, I mean, we know there are, the European Union speaks here with one voice, no, but there's differences within the European Union, within the member states of the European Union, no, and other European states as well, no. So, and we try to talk to those differences, no, to make sure that to try at least to the participation of the European Union is on more positive terms. Also acknowledging, obviously, that it is for the benefit of the treaty that will be negotiated at the end, no, that the home countries of transnational corporations are part of the treaty, no, so that it really is effective, because I mean, in the end, it will be binding for those countries that sign on it, no. So if there's no countries, home countries from transnational corporations, okay, it will be difficult to implement it, no, because they won't be bound by the standards and the clauses of the binding treaty. It's clear, that's clear cut, really. No? That's what this whole process is about. No, I mean, to make sure that states close the existing loopholes that give impunity to corporations, no, instead of open new loopholes and giving new privileges to corporations. No, and that's what the participation of the Global Campaign and Friends of the Earth International is about in this regard. No, I mean, certainly we all agree that one of the main objectives of this whole process is to grant effective justice and remedy for affected peoples and persons, no, by human rights violations by transnational corporations. No, but that won't happen unless we close all those loopholes that allow transnational corporations to avoid justice, no? So, and including, for example, the fact that that these corporations, you know, and in the national, the home countries of those corporations can say, okay, no, well, I have no jurisdiction of your, over your case. For example, in the case of Chevron, no, they say, well, no, no, this was Chevron Ecuador, which is a different company than Chevron in the United States, which is the home state, no. I mean, they have 150 different different identities wherever they operate, no. So, and the United States tribunals can say, no, we have no jurisdiction because your claims have to do with another company, which is not Chevron, but the Chevron Ecuador, which is a different company, no. When we all know, I mean, that the decisions of Chevron Ecuador are taken in by Chevron America, I mean, in the United States, no. So it is very important for governments to close, for example, that very big gap, which is normally called the corporate veil. No, we need to lift. Governments need to lift that corporate veil so that this corporate structure of whatever company is investing in whatever country is known, and who are the effective decision makers. That the responsibilities can be established, no? Whenever there are violations and the responsible directors and responsible companies must be brought to justice and made accountable for their wrongdoings.
Real World Radio, broadcasting free words, building popular communications by FOI.